We're grateful we can be here together again in services, worship the Lord. I agree so much with that comment and testimony that Sister Charlotte Husky, I remember her last name. I think COVID has affected us all in little different ways, taking part of my mind, I believe, my memory at least. But I'm so grateful that the Lord can help us to be more than a conqueror in life right here as we live. So thankful for His love and mercy to us and for His salvation. That's something that surely we can rejoice in. I visited a place recently, just not too long ago, and there was a woman stood up there and talked about that she was glad she was able to be saved. She was saved and wasn't afraid for the Lord to come back at any time. And this is somebody that we don't normally worship with. I'm just went there just to visit, I thought there's no greater testimony that any of us could have is to be able to say, I know all is well with my soul. I believe that there are people that we don't normally worship with for whatever reasons. But the Lord has, remember when He told Elijah something? He said, I've reserved to myself, was it 7,000? There's some people out there that love the Lord with all their heart. And I want to encourage them wherever I find them. I want to reach my hand out there and help them to feel the fellowship of the Spirit. And time will prove whether their heart is in line with the Lord or not. It's for us to shine that light and to encourage and inspire our fellow man. Sometimes I've seen people that just the outward appearance, I wasn't sure just exactly what I was dealing with, but in conversation with them, sometimes I began to feel this deep yearning in their heart. And you just encourage that. And if there's something we can supply and try to help them with, that is something that the Lord wants us to do. More than a conqueror, I believe the Lord has something for us as we go through life. To be able to face the foe. It bothers me considerably when I hear some of the, some of the doctrines, some of the way that some Christianity is promoted out there, that God saves, but salvation is limited. And that you've still got to be a slave to your old master, clear until the time that you die. I want to tell you something there. God's salvation is active today. And it's powerful. And I would ask us, if we have that feeling, that we would raise our eyes above the flesh and lay hold on eternal life. Because there is a salvation that's greater than what you and I can accomplish in our own. Because our own things that we try to create are really very, very worthless. Filthy rags? Isn't that what the Scripture talks about? It's very inefficient. Inefficient, that's not the word. Very ineffective. It's not something that will satisfy the soul. But that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't want us to give ourselves willingly to Him with all we have. I forgot to bring, I have some notes on a phone over here. I can get my wife to, or my nephew here to bring it. Thank you. Thank you. I was thinking about a song, and you may know it. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a whole lot more than just man's ideas. Grip the solid rock. And that is something that God Himself has supplied a foundation for our faith. That's sure and steadfast. And something we can put our feet on and know what it means to be saved. And know what it means to have purpose and direction in life. And we don't have to be destroyed in times like these. It doesn't mean we're not going to have some temptations or we're not going to feel the winds of things blowing around us. We are, and neither am I going to promote to any of us that we ignore the things that are going on out there. COVID is real. We all know that. We have loved ones that have succumbed to it. We know it. We're not denying that. Most of us here probably had COVID. I want to tell you something. God never intended for us to be enslaved to the point that we can't feel fellowship of the Spirit of each other. I believe there's something about this very spirit of man that wants to come and worship together. And the devil's doing all he can to suppress that. Folks, we go to Walmart, don't we? We have to go shop. Why can't we come here and worship the Lord together? And enjoy it. I'm not saying be reckless with your life. I'm not saying that at all. But God, help us to reach beyond the pall that the devil is trying to cast over all humanity. To separate us and get us to the point that we can't even reach out and touch people with the love of Christ. The devil's at war with us. May the God of heaven help us to feel and find our liberty that there is still in Christ. And be able to reach out and be very sure that our anchor holds and grips that solid rock. And we have something then to give to those around us. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. We can turn over there. I think of the times we're in. Things remind us of the troublesome times that we're in. Every time I go to town or have my wife come back home from town, she'll talk about empty shelves, slots that's just not there, and in our mechanic shop, there's a lot of times that we will order some parts and find that the supplier says, well, I can't get that. They're just not here right now. And so we go somewhere else and they say, we're having a hard time getting those parts too. Different things. We see this. And that doesn't make you feel very secure, does it? We feel a little troubled. I remember years ago when I was young, we would always kind of make fun a little bit of, We would use it as a tool in our mind to kind of check off, say, I don't want to be like that. When I would hear about the Russian economy back then and how they would talk about having to stand in line to get certain foods and to get there and line up for their certain allotment of bread. And we would say, there's an example of a wrong type of government. And I still believe that's so. I'm going to tell you, where we're going is an example of doing it wrong. But transcending all that is the King that we have. Did you know there were people who were able to live good, saved in Russia during those days? Some of you probably read the book. The Persecutor. Thank you. In that, part of his job of the team that he was with, they would go and break up secret Christian meetings. They would search them out and find them and arrest them and persecute them and beat them. And this man, according to what he wrote in his book, and I'll quote it the best that I can in my memory, and I might be wrong, but I'm going to give it to you the best I can remember. They went into this place and they found the believers, as they called them. They found them worshiping together. And they went in there taking people apart, or taking people away, and being rough and gruff with them. They had these clubs that they were using. And one woman was bowing down. And she was praying. Her lips were moving. And the man that enraged him. And he drew back. And he was listening to what she was. He listened to what she had to say. And she was praying for this man. This persecutor. That's victory. That's serving a king greater than those around us. Than the fears that we might find. And she knew it could cost her life. But she was praying for this man. And because it drove him then to a rage, he pulled back to strike her all the harder. And he got ready to strike and his hand didn't move. He felt like somebody grabbed it. And he turned to look. Who grabbed my hand? Because he wondered at that. Because Christians had never grabbed his arm before. These believers had never defended themselves before. Who did this? And there was nobody he saw. God confronted him. Doesn't he want you and I to live in such a way that our King, in all his glory, can reach down and confront people? He wants us to be obedient and loving and kind and gentle. And faithful where we are now. In this time, in times like these. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Saints throughout the annals of history have went through difficult places and were faithful by the grace of God. And were able to bear testimony to their wonderful Savior. And some of them went through the fire and came out on the other side. And some of them were sawn asunder, not accepting deliverance. Some of them, you notice that in Hebrews, in the same verse, in the same breath of air, these had great deliverance. Others went through it and lost their lives and still bore witness by faith that there was a king greater than anybody else here. And that's the one they served. This is our day. This is our day. And God has the ability to give you and I the victory in this our day. In times like these. 1 Corinthians, but my note says 2. You better go over here to 2. 2 Corinthians 1. And 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. The verse up above said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I want to relate this a little bit in this context. You know, there's a certain place that God intends for men to fill, and especially in the home, but in society too. There's a special place. A man is supposed to be a father and a protector and a guide, a loving, tender, firm man. He's supposed to bring a certain amount of security in that home, in that place where he is. Now, do you know there's times that man is going to feel like the weight of the world is on his shoulders? And he gets help. I mean, his wife is a support, and there's a wonderful economy, there's a wonderful working together there that God has created. But sometimes that's, He needs more than just that. You know what He does, or what He should do at least? He should find a place where He pours out His heart to the Lord. And I've done it in many places. You know, sometimes debating whether to share this with you or not. You know, a good shower is very relaxing to me, and it's also my mind starts running, and I start praying. I've done a lot of praying while I was in the shower. I just have. I'm just telling you. There's places that the Lord in life that. Sometimes driving down the road. I've been driving down the road all by myself. And the Lord begins to speak. And I begin to yearn. I reach out to Him. And there's some communion goes on. And there's some comforting goes on. You know what? We need it, every one of us. I don't care how big and strong and a man you might be. And God wants you to be that. Don't turn from that. But there's a place that you need some strength from your Father. There's places we need to tap in to our head. And that's Jesus Christ. That's our Father. Through Jesus, our Heavenly Father, even the Lord. And He makes Himself available and invites us to come. Why do you think that the Lord... Why do you think that the Lord even created mankind? Didn't He have trees to do what they needed to do? Didn't He have animals? Didn't they obey Him? Didn't they do? He created all this. Didn't it all glorify Him? But then He created man. Don't you think that there was something in Him that wanted to give somebody else this, the right to say yes or to say no? Love demands that, doesn't it? Think of the very nature of love. I hope somehow we can understand this. The very nature of love makes me, though my wife is bound, we're bound together by our desires, by our vows is what I'm trying to say. But there is something that goes beyond the vows that holds us together. There's this love. And I would never want to say, all right, I'm the man of the home here, and I'm afraid you might leave me, so I'm going to padlock this house up and you can't leave, and I know you'll be there when I get home. Is that going to be satisfying to anybody? What man really wants that? He wants to come home and see the door open up and her smile and her want to put her arms around him because she wants to. I love you, honey. Glad you're home. Oh, I love you too. You see what happens? You see, that's why God, He gave you the right to say yes or no. He made us with His choice. Desire to respond to Him. And there's a comfort then that we get. And the comfort, did you know He gets that too? There's something that is fulfilling to our Heavenly Father when we come to Him. And bring our love and our free will offering. Sometimes we think about the free will offering as the money we put in a box. Well, that's part of it. But what He really wants is our heart. I freely, willingly yield it up to You, Lord. My vow, You are my Lord and Savior from now on. There is no other choice for me. I've made my choice. And there's a comfort then that we get in this communion with our Heavenly Father. I know we get it, and I believe He gets it too. But then as we go through life and pastors. I've talked with Brother Philip a little bit in the last little while. He's had COVID. And I remember back when I had COVID, and I know that sometimes I went through a time that I didn't hardly feel like I could take another step. Physically, I was worn out. Feel like I could sit there and thought, well, I don't feel too bad sitting here. Then I get up and try to do something, and it doesn't take 30 minutes of hardly walking around, and I'm ready to sit back down. So I knowing that he's going through that and had sicknesses of others that he's worried about or needing to attend to, different needs in the congregation, plus his own things he's going through. I was concerned. And I'm concerned about anybody, don't get me wrong. But when a pastor, when you feel that pressure and that all the way, back when I had COVID, there was a time that there was a funeral came up and I had told him, yes, I'll take care of the funeral. And then it came down to it, there's no way I could. I was grateful for Brother Danny Adams, who was able to come and help with that. But what I'm wanting to get past this now, too, is that in the times of stress, the times of troubles, then there's some comfort that we find from the Lord, that the pastor needs to be buoyed up from the Lord. Look back there at I call her Aunt Maxine because she's almost my aunt. She is my cousin, but I call her Aunt Maxine. And she's been special to me throughout the years. And there's things that she has went through, considerable, difficult things that she's went through recently. And these are crushing times. But through those times, we find comfort from the Lord. And that's the things that we then begin to come and bring to you and tell you, we found something that the Lord has helped us with. The Lord brought us through. Doesn't mean we don't have some difficult places, because we do. But it says here, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And we found Him merciful. We'll say, well, right now, it doesn't seem merciful because this person, I prayed for them and I wanted them to live so badly and they're not here. And I'm sorry. I understand that. Really, I do. I've lost some like that too. I really was extremely. But when I began to look at some of this through God's eyes, I realized He was very merciful. In my mother's passing, if you'd asked me to choose, I would have chosen a very different route. But God Himself took her home. God Himself in His mercy, His love. And I can say that to you now. There may have been a few days at the beginning I didn't understand that. But the God of all love and mercy came and comforted me. And so because of that relationship with my Heavenly Father that we find in difficult places, then we have something in our pockets. We have something in our hearts that we can come and look at you. And it's most of the time not very good for me to look at you and say, brother, I understand what you're going through, because sometimes that just doesn't compute when you're in such hard places. But at least when I look at you, there's some realness in my eyes when I love you, brother. We're praying for you. The Lord does have comfort, does have something for you. Hold on, be faithful. Let's pray. Can we just hug? I want to hug you for a little while. And can we just pray? And let's look to the Lord. Because I found a God that is merciful in times like these. I found a God who comforts. Found a God who has been real, who has been merciful to me. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. I don't think it's healthy for us to come together and claim that we haven't had any tribulations. I think it's proper for us to look truly at the situation, and say, yes, we've had some hard places. And we're still going through some hard places. And we're probably going to continue going through some hard places. But let none of these things move you. Put your feet on the rock. There is a God who will bring us through. There's a God who has a heaven for us. And I don't know. At times like these, sometimes we also can use it to remind people how important it is to be ready. And it is important to be ready. But whether he waits another 100 years or more, I want you to know there is a God of comfort that wants us to feel a sense of urgency every day, because there are people that are going on every day. And reach out in love and inspire if we can our neighbors and the hard men who have hated us before. Don't we want them to be saved? On the way down here, my wife is reading me a story about some of those who recently got away from their captors in Haiti. Remember the missionaries who recently able to escape their captivity? What, 17 of them, I believe? They said, we forgive them. They said, we pray that they become our brothers. Amen. What better way to defeat an enemy? Can you think of a better way? The best way I've ever known of, that if you can truly defeat an enemy, is to make him your brother. And to be able to put your arms around his neck and cry together and go to the throne to the same Father. Say, Lord, help us. Help us in life. Isn't that the best way? Is it a difficult way? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. How about back during the time that Jesus spoke these words, a Roman who was a captor, a Roman could see a Jewish young man walking along and say, come here, Jew. You must legally help me carry this 1 mile. You're going to have to do it. Young man, in his strength, perhaps it chafes him to think that another man can tell me to do that. Or perhaps the young man had been alone with the Lord, had begun to get some victories in his soul, and had received a love for these, his captors. And when the Romans said, come here, Jew, carry this. He went over there and picked it up and walked 1 mile. And the Roman may have been thinking, well, now who's the next one? And the young man said, friend, could I take it too? What would go through that Roman's mind about now? Hard to hate a man who loves you. And the Roman may think, but this is different. These young men, I've prayed on all my time of being here, and I've angered them, and I've taken some pleasure in angering them. But this man just said, can I do it again? And I didn't force him. Wonder what the second mile would sound like. Roman may say, what's your name? Why'd you do this? Because I've got a God who changed my heart. I'm different inside. And I'd love to be able to tell you about him. He's real. Does he love me? Yes, he loves you too, Roman. He does. I don't know, and I wouldn't want to read too much into it, but I wonder why Cornelius the centurion. Wonder why he was a devout man. I don't know. It probably wasn't because a scenario. It may. I don't know. But somewhere Cornelius began to seek the Lord. Wasn't he a Roman? Roman centurion? Isn't that what he was? Something touched him. Something touched him. Have you received comfort in your heart? Have you received guidance in your heart from our Heavenly Father? Has the Lord spoken to you about places in your life? He surely has in mine. Sometimes the comfort that I received actually was a correction. Say, child, don't let that grow in your heart. Oh, dear ones, I'll tell you, the last few years of my life, and see the turmoil, political turmoil and social turmoil that I've seen, there's some things begins to rise. And I've had the Lord come and say, child, be careful. Be careful. Have you not heard that? Surely you have. I hope you have. Because if you haven't, you may be falling prey to some carnality that the Lord doesn't want growing there. I want to encourage us in times like these. In times like these, that Christ is on display. Help us, Lord. We're going through troublesome times. But in those times, there's such an opportunity for Christ to shine. If we let Him. If we let Him. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. This is one of those places when you and I go through some places with the Lord. And get some victories in our life. The Lord corrects us and guides us. And then we learn some things. Then we have some opportunities to share that with those around us. I think especially about pastors and leaders in our congregation. We have high expectations of them. And they're supposed to be, as leaders, they're supposed to bring a certain calmness, a certain security. And that's what God wants. Help us to help bring a security to those around us. We're supposed to be driving this conversation. We're supposed to be affecting this conversation. We're supposed to be bringing some peace to those around us. Do we not have the Prince of Peace in our heart? So then we have something to share. Silver and gold I may not have. But I have something. I do have something. See, I've been in prayer with my Father. I've been in the closet, and there's something has begun to stir in my heart, and I just want to tell you, friend. I'm saying this as though we going through life have experienced these times alone with the Lord, and we come out of that, and then we must needs pass still through this vanity fair of life, and as we go through, we find people that are in distress. When sometimes we ourselves have been in distress, but we went to the source. And the Lord began to give victory where we are more than a conqueror. We're able to overcome those things. It doesn't mean you don't go through some stresses, because you do. But there's some victories that the Lord can bring us to. And then we have something to share with those around us. The stress, we're in a world of distress out there. God, help us to allow the light of Christ to shine in our lives. Let's be in the closet till He lights our candle. And He closes us with His presence, and we can come out with something that's solid and sure. We can bring hope to a world that's desperate for hope today. Comfort them which are in trouble, that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. There's something that the Lord has for us in the middle of the difficult places of life. All right. 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. You can go there. I'm just going to refer to that. This is an area where King was his name Jehoshaphat. Maybe I ought to turn there. But the king, this mighty army came against the king and all these people, all the children of Israel. And they felt overwhelmed. They knew that they didn't have might in themselves enough to face this foe. In times like these, we need a Savior. I'm sure they felt that way. 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. Maybe this is... maybe I need to turn there. It's going to be better if I do. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I love that. For one thing, there is an acknowledgement, and folks, where it's not a healthy or a proper or even a right stance to have to feel like that I can face everything in my own strength. We need the Lord. We need to learn to lean on the Lord. That doesn't mean the Lord doesn't ask us to give ourselves all we know how and all our efforts to Him. But we need the Lord to bring us through. And this man acknowledged, he's king. And the Lord, he turned to the Lord. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever felt that in your life? I believe I have anyway. I just share with you, there are places many different times. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. It looks like there's an overwhelming odds in the future. I don't know what to do. You feel the pressure of that. And so, hear what he said? But our eyes. We're looking at you, Lord. We're looking at thee. But our eyes are upon thee. Lord, I'm looking to my Heavenly Father. I need some comfort. I need some direction. I need some correction if that's necessary. I need you, Lord. Lord, help us know how to handle the things in times like these. I need you, Lord. I need an anchor in times like these. I need a Savior. I need you, Lord. I need something to stand on. I need some comfort. I need something from you, Lord. Well, the Lord was willing to answer. Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Anyway, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, this 13th verse now, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Now that's a little difficult. They were there. That multitude was in sight. They knew they were there. Lord, I see it. I'm fearful. And the word of the Lord came and said, you can quit being overwrought with fear now. Oh, but fear sometimes has this paralyzing But the Lord wants to help us to realize, I can step out in confidence in my Lord. We can move beyond that paralysis of fear. Looking unto who? Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. It's a wonderful few verses there. He said, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle. The Lord's taken up your cause. The Lord Himself is going to fight this one for you. The Lord Himself. Well, Lord, I've been trying to scheme. I don't know. Just rest now. The Lord has heard your prayer. The Lord is here. What a wonderful. But Lord, I still see Him. Yes, you see Him. But I want you to know, this is what the Lord told him. You don't need to be afraid. This is my battle. So what shall we do? You know, sometimes, again, I'm not asking us to ignore the realities of life. But sometimes it's good to just praise the Lord. Have you ever noticed how sometimes fear begins to compound and everything swirls around and gets darker and darker and everything looks like it's going to be so terrible, and this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen and we're just going to be crushed? When really, most of that never really happens. Sometimes I understand. But I really believe that the Lord have us to sometimes consciously peel our eyes away from all the terror and look to the one who says, look and come unto me. And look toward the Lord. And what do they said? Set singers. What we're supposed to do? Begin to praise the holiness of the Lord. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, you're good. But we feel surrounded. Yes, but you're still good, Lord. Brother, don't say that so loud. We're in trouble. Oh, but the Lord is gracious and full of mercy. Amen. Oh, but brother, I don't feel that. But He still is, brother. The God we serve. He's able to deliver us. I don't know how He's going to deliver us. We may go through the fire. We may burn up tomorrow. But the Lord's going to deliver us, brother. Oh, thank God. I've wondered many times that it would be a terrible military tactic to put a troop of singers in the front of the battle line. Nobody, no general would ever do that. But the Lord said, set them out there. Wonder what the enemy must have felt like when they heard these folks coming out, this whole group of singers, coming out to meet them, saying, our God is mighty and our God is able. The Lord we serve is a holy God. The Lord we serve is on our side. Oh, the Lord has helped us throughout all the past. We look at all His glory and His beauty and what He's done. He's brought us through many things of the past. And now we're coming to you. We want you to know about our God. Our God is great. He's been with us. He's changed us in our hearts. There's something that the Lord has for you. I wonder what would have happened to that army. Instead of running, would have come and said, tell me more about your God. Tell me. I'm tired. We've been killing all our lives. I'm sick of killing. Oh, what a victory. It was still a wonderful victory, but I wonder how much greater it would have been if all of them would have come and said, can I be one of those? Can I come under your God? I believe Him. That would have been just a great miracle. You remember, remember those that, was it Elisha? And there was a servant. And they were in a hole, in a city, walled up. Got up the next morning, the servant came back in and said, "We're surrounded by the enemy." That ought to strike fear in all of us, wouldn't it? How are we getting out of here? I'm scared. Naturally. Elijah had a vision greater than just the fear of the moment. God wants us to have something in our pockets. Something we can share. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I've got something to tell you about. And Elisha said, "Lord, help him to see. Open his eyes." And you remember what? He looked up beyond the surrounding armies over there. Hills are full of them, weren't they, Brother Tony? The Lord himself. I believe the servant came back and said, "Don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I'm sure he's got this in his hands." They think they got us surrounded, but God's got them surrounded. And us too. So what happened? They came knocking, didn't they? They wanted to, and the Lord smote them with blindness. He said, come on in here. Opened the gate, brought him in. Come right on in here. And remember what the king said? Should I smite him? This is surely a great... Surely the Lord wants me to just kill him now. He just delivered him into our hands. But be careful. The Lord, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's including the people that don't like you and I today. Same ones. Help us, Lord, to carry something real. So what did the Lord tell him to do? Told the king, feed him. Give him a good meal. And I know I've pointed this out before. Don't want to get old, but in my mind, I don't know. I believe if I would have been one of those soldiers there that day, and after I got fed and my eyes were open, I realized I was in the very presence of those I came to try to take, had been given the orders to come and take these captives, captive back home. They didn't do it. They couldn't do it. I think they looked at him and said, "Friend, thank you for not killing me. I'm so grateful. Your God is mighty. I just experienced him. I'm going to go back home." And I wonder what their story was when they went back home. We think we got a mighty God. But let me tell you about their God. Let me tell you something about him. And they were so kind to us. It was so real. There was something there. And I'd like to think in my mind that some of those could have said, maybe their leader said, "Well, you were given the task of bringing them back. I know it. Here's my armor. I am going back. You can just have that. If you don't kill me, I'm going to go back. Because those people, they got something over there." Don't we have something yet to share today with people around us? Come on back. Come on. Come on, come all. Oh, but I'm a miserable person. I'm a drug addict. Come on. There's salvation. People love you. But more than people love you, the God of heaven loves you. The God of heaven wants to help you change your life. Don't we have something to share? Don't we truly have a message for the world today? In the midst of COVID, in the midst of social rancor and unrest, don't we have a message? To the white man, to the black man, to the red man, to every human being that God himself has created, all of these. Everyone, the same message. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you been comforted by the touch of God in your life? I look back at years ago when the Lord brought me out of a life of sin, set my feet on a different path, established my going, put a different song in my mouth. I've got something to share. Thank God for that. I can look at these people and tell them that the God of all comfort, the God of mercy, touched me and changed me, and He'll do the same for you. The doors aren't shut. They may be shut for too long, but I want to get everybody inside those doors as fast as we can. Come unto me, all ye that labor, the Lord says. Our eyes are on you, Lord. Well, part of the job of these frontline soldiers, they didn't have, I doubt if they had a sword one on them. They carried their songbooks in front of them and said, begin to sing praises. They praised the holiness of God. Lord, help us to do the same. Frontline soldiers, you going to do that? Can we praise the Lord in the midst of distress? In times like this, can we not? Can we not? Don't we have something as we go in into our worship with the Lord and we find a crippled man beside our door? Can't we say, you may think you need money from my pocket, but what you really need is the God that I have. Amen. We still have something to share, do we not? In times like these, we need the comfort of God in our heart. And then be able to go out and touch and inspire. God help us to do so. To be able to help inspire and influence at least those around us. And point them past us and onto the crowd, onto the cross. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord. And I hope we can be encouraged in times like these. I know we can. I hope we'll be encouraged.